I had a thought the last few days. I've kind of been mucking around with it in my head for a long time. But the thought is, you can say a weird thought to one person, and that often works. Well, it's accepted. But if you say that same weird thought to 10 people, they just all think it's weird. But then if you say that same weird thought to 100 people, it's like saying it to one person again. It's like you go from a one person to 100 people, and you're talking to like one person, the universal heart. But 10 people, for some reason, that's kind of the magic number where an emotional airlock of poison, where they all think that they're all kind of, they can all communicate with each other and all decide that it's weird. 10 people seems to, and the 10 people seem to be like a common thing, like in workplaces, groups of friends. But so yeah, when you go between talking to one person or 100 people, it's the same thing. And it made me think about writing Mum's book and how initially when I was posting it, people were saying it's so weird and unique and eccentric, yet everyone seems to be relating to it. And that's the thing, like as soon as it's like talking to one person and you can talk to 100 people, but if you're just saying it to 10 people, they'll all judge it. It's so weird that around 10 people, it always seems to not work. But that's just my little thought for the week. And that goes with a lot of for writing or performing or art. A lot of people are too scared to, they'll share their weird thought with one person and they'll go, oh, I fucking love that, that's great, I think that too. But then you share it with 10 people and they'll go, what the fuck, you're a fucking weirdo. but if you break through that airlock of 10 people and you share it to 100 people, then for some reason that larger group seems to love it. And I don't know why. But that's what I've learned. And a lot of people can't break through the shame of those 10 people to get to 100 people. Not that you need to be talking to 100 people, but I know a lot of friends and artists who kind of live with the fear and shame of those 10 people who'll judge them, and they'll keep their art to themselves, keep their strangeness just to one-on-ones, and it's never shared with a broader audience. And I'd love to see them share it. It kind of shits me sometimes, but at the same time, I get it. A lot of people just don't want to, but I think secretly these people do, that they're actually ashamed and hold a lot of fear, and they're scared of the judgment. So yeah, for a long time when I didn't have an audience, I'd only share it with one person, or if I shared it with a few people. I remember some people close to me saying, Darby, what the fuck are you posting that shit on Facebook for? Do you think you're on Big Brother or something? Or that's so embarrassing. Someone really close to me said, that's embarrassing what you're posting on Facebook. Back in 2012, I was just posting my little ideas and poems and stuff. But no one used Facebook as a place to express art back in 2011. It wasn't a place. I didn't find Tumblr either, which is a bit of a shame. If I'd found Tumblr or something like that before Instagram, maybe I would have had a bit more fun. But yeah, I remember, yeah, those groups of people when I had a limited amount of friends, and people would be actively express their embarrassment for me. And so I had to fight through that, because I'd always been strange. Not for me, it was normal, but I'd always been told that I'd say odd things and have strange thoughts, and eventually I just kept going. I went, fuck the shame. I had a falling out with a couple of friends, and then it was all fine again. But yeah, now some of those people are going, oh my god, look at what you've done. They underestimated my strangeness, and they did the sensible things in life. And only now is my stuff sort of taking off from seemingly out of the blue. But for me, it's not out of the blue. I've been doing it for decades. But I always joke that, yeah, you guys are investing in property. I'm just investing in intellectual property. And I always kind of laughed about it and joked at my expense, but I thought, I'm rich because I'm making stuff that I love, and that's all that matters. I know that sounds stupid and non-grown up and all that sort of shit, but yeah, I would have been happy to just keep making my stuff until I was dead, and I would have been totally fine with that, and I was happy. I'd like to begin with, in my 20s, I feel like I wanted to make it somehow, and then eventually I realized, as life got harder into my 30s, I went, I don't need to make it. Art is actually now saving me. All I need art for now is my medication, my antidepressants, and that was just helping me survive life and some parts of it that were pure drudgery. But yeah, it's that pushing through that. Those clicks of 10 people, I don't know, 10, I'm just giving 10 as a bit of an arbitrary number, but anywhere between 3 and 20 people, and you'll get judged, and that's like family, friends, workplaces, all that sort of stuff, and it kills a lot of potentially great art and writing. Those same people who don't push through that fear of and the judgment of those groups of 10 people or so, they end up becoming kind of quite bitter. And I've seen it happen. I'm seeing it happen now at the age of, I'm 50 in a month. I'm seeing it happen with friends who I've known forever who kind of feel like they've taken the wrong, like they played the game back in their 20s thinking, I'm making all the sensible decisions. And now they're seeing all those sensible decisions seem like what a waste of time. They'd sold so much of their time off because they wanted to see a straight line of progress go from bottom to top, left to right, like a graph of progress, when mine was more like this, a flat line, and then it just went it just the last year it's gone a bit nuts. And of course that could all change, and it's not nothing set in stone. I love the idea of, as soon as you don't need something from life, it's kind of given to you. And as soon as I didn't need art to be able to pay rent with, and to be able to do, as soon as I didn't give it limitations and expectations, art gave me everything that perhaps I would have liked from it in my early 20s. But it took me years. It kind of said to me for years, you want this for the wrong reasons. This is why you need art. You need art so you stay alive. And after I was art helped me through those really shitty moments in life for decades. That's when it came through with something that I was not expecting. Yeah, Mum's book is out this week in the US, and that's really exciting. I would have loved to have been there for the first week, even though it would have been semi-pointless, because I wouldn't be able to really do much except for just sign stock in bookstores. It still would have been fun, but I guess it looks like I'll be aiming to get to the US in April at the moment, and get there then. But yeah, I'm watching the Amazon rankings, because that's the only place I can really watch how it sells, and Goodreads, and it's kind of like watching your heart on the stock market. Yeah, if you could float your heart on the stock market, watching a book go up and down in numbers, or aka sales, it's a weird thing, and it's kind of addictive. So I like gambling sometimes, like $10 a week on stuff on Sportsbet. It sort of taps into that dumb part of my brain that loves to see numbers fall and rise. Yeah, I love that it's out. I feel like I've transplanted it from my brain and my heart, and now it's in the ground. And now I feel a shock when you move a tree. and plant it into new soil. Apparently it has some, there's some sort of shock with the transplant. I feel like I'm going through the shock, that weird shock of transplanting the book into the world and into other people's lives. I can't, my wheels are still spinning, and I kind of don't, what am I supposed to do now? I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing right now. But yeah, it's out in the US and Canada, and I'm just watching it from afar. The beautiful feedback that I'm getting for it, which is kind of, yeah, crazy. But yeah, then it's out in Australia next week, and the UK 2 weeks after that. But yeah, Mum's book is out. Darby Love, Alive Things Mum Said to Me Before She Died. And the other plug is, if you want to leave a review for this podcast on Apple, Spotify, or leave a comment on YouTube, I'd love it.